This is Katie and Kate Carbondale. Support for GeekSpeak comes from your membership and from Louie the Computer Guy, providing PC and Mac repair, networking support, tutoring, and web design. Be secure, informed, and connected. 948-7992. And from Umbrella Roofing, providing roofing contractor services, gutter installation, architectural sheet metal fabrication for the Roaring Fork and Eagle Valleys. Umbrella Roofing can be reached at umbrella-roofing.com and 704-9130. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer, from Roaring Fork Help Desk, in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
Hey, Matt.
And we have Marty Reinierson from Blue Bee Interactive.
A rare appearance.
A.K.A. Modern Marty.
Back being...
Are you still modern?
I'm still modern and semi-geek, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. You work with computers at your job, right?
That's true.
Repetitive motion syndrome. Hey, big eclipse coming up, huh?
Yeah.
What's the date of that?
It's 2 weeks from today.
2 weeks from today, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Wow.
Around, around 11 o'clock, depending on your location.
So it'll make landfall in Oregon. Let's see here if it gives me a time on this one. No, it just gives me the... oh, wait, here. 10:18 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time.
There's a really good website called eclipse2017.org, which I recommend. They have this great Google map where they basically have the whole path in the Google map, so you can see where you are and you can zoom in and see the exact time. In fact, if you're on the Google map, you pick the place you're going to be, and they show you a little pop-up box that shows beginning of the eclipse, total eclipse, and end of a set of eclipse.
Nice.
Yeah, so I would check out eclipse2017.org.
Okay. Space.com also has a good article. NASA has a good breakdown on, and there's a few other websites available. There was one that where you type in your zip code and it'd give you all the information about when and everything, but I haven't found that one yet.
So we have, what, 90% here in the Roaring Fork Valley, understand?
Yeah, between 80 and 90%.
That's what I'm counting on.
Yeah, well, I'm driving north. You too, Matt?
I'm driving northeast.
Oh, I'm going to go to Casper.
Yep, going to Grand Island.
So would that be the 21st? Is that the date of it?
Yeah, the 21st.
Yep. Okay, yep. Got it. All right. Well, I'll be the ground station and observe what the 90% looks like for you guys. So
maybe we'll call in and give you full reports.
Yeah, absolutely.
On the drive back.
Yep. If anybody wants to call into the program, it's 970-963-2976. We will help you fix whatever ails you. That is, if it's your computer. So, and so let's talk about some different, we're not supposed to look directly at the eclipse, right? I tried that last time. It didn't work too good.
Well, you're supposed to have special glasses. In fact, there's an article here about making sure you don't get fake eclipse glasses.
Okay.
But I just saw my step-grandmother had glasses she got from the local eye place here, 2020 Eye Care.
Okay.
I think they're free. So
nice.
So I hope those are approved glasses, because I was thinking about grabbing some there.
The NASA.com site has a list of companies, a list of manufacturers who make the actual film.
They're not selling the real, they're not selling them themselves? You can't get NASA-branded glasses? That would be cool.
I think they're working with it's Thousand Oaks is the one. So I got a little 4x4 piece of the film to put over my camera lens.
Got it.
So
I was thinking, I've got a pair of those 3D glasses. I was thinking that if you use those, you could see it in 3D.
That would be something.
Doesn't that?
Although if you just don't have the 3D glasses, it is still in 3D. Maybe.
Yeah.
Who knows? True. I just want to enhance the experience, you know. I just want
to
get...
You might be able to see some additional, since those are polarized both ways, so you have a vertical polarization and a horizontal polarization.
Okay.
There are polarization lines in the atmosphere, so you might be able to see some additional... additional information in from the atmosphere.
But we better get serious for a minute and say that is if you put a piece of this approved film between your 3D glasses and the eclipse, you know, right? You don't want to be... go use the 3D glasses to look directly at
the eclipse. Make sure you have approved glasses.
Yeah.
Yes.
Only hosts from GeekSpeak get to do that.
Yeah.
So, all right. Nice. So...
Now, you were saying something about the surge pricing on the Airbnb?
Yes. I find it a very interesting phenomenon that, many eclipses have come and gone. And, you know, I've been watching.
Well, this is the first complete solar eclipse in the United States in 99 years.
It is not.
Yes, it is.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. First. All right. Now solar I get it. Solar eclipse.
Yeah. There've been a lot of lunar eclipses, but no.
Okay.
Total solar eclipse.
Got it.
Partial solar eclipse.
Yeah, because I remember one when I was in second grade. We had a partial.
Uh huh.
And we went out there with the.
I better make some reservations.
They're all full.
Well, if you can start booking for 2024 in August, or no, in October, which will be the next one.
Okay, got it. Who makes that rule as to when you can start booking for the next, or is that the national parks? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, we started looking at this in 2015, and we called places near, what is that one up there? Grand Teton National Park, and we wanted to go to that Wyoming area for that. My girlfriend's never been there, and you know, check that out, go to do the eclipse and all that. But we called too early, and they're like, we're not accepting bookings. And then we called back when they said they were accepting bookings, and they were full.
Got it.
So
they probably went out the same day.
Yep.
I filled up.
Typical catch 22.
Yeah, we called the morning of that they were taking, air quotes,
mm-hmm.
You know, and then gone.
I don't know, man. I could have sworn I've seen a full solar eclipse, but, you know, I've got a pretty checkered past. It's very possible that there were other things that caused that during that period of time. So,
well, they happen all the time outside of the States. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah,
if you're on vacation at the right time, or
watched
something,
it on YouTube. That's it.
That could be.
Yeah,
yeah.
You can watch a lot of them on YouTube. But yeah, I guess those eclipses used to really kind of freak the natives out back in the day. You know, they were thinking that they were being punished by the gods or something like that. And I suppose we could think the same here in America. But anyway, once again, 970-963-2976. Give us a call with your tech questions. What's going on in the world of modern Marty?
Not too much. Getting ready for the Firefox browser coming out next week.
Yeah? Are you going to that?
No, going to get my browser.
Yeah?
Because I'm a big Mozilla fan.
It's a big update?
It's VR web.
Okay.
Yeah.
Virtual reality web.
Yeah.
And what are you looking, how are you looking for things to be different?
It'll be your 3D experience.
Yeah. Where do I buy the glasses?
Maybe from Mozilla directly. Who knows?
Yeah.
Nice.
Have you looked at the Mozilla Voice project?
I have not.
So, you know, you have Siri and OK Google and all the big players that have voice recognition software. Mozilla is trying to do the same thing in the open source realm where you can go and it tries to figure out what somebody said. So it puts that text in front of you. Then you listen to it and you say, yes, you got it right. Or no, you got it wrong. And so you can help them accumulate, you know, the thousands of hours of
vocabulary
analysis and vocabulary, to put together, you know, a good general purpose, voice recognition system. And it'll be open source and available to everyone.
Open source is the way to go.
Yeah, everyone can just grab onto it and use it and make it better. And
exactly.
So definitely wonder.
Nice. So we were talking a little bit about cell phone stuff earlier as well. And I've been on kind of a little bit of an odyssey. And I'd be interested to hear what our listeners have to, you know, I don't know. I don't want to start a firestorm here. But I put a post up on Roaring Fork Swap a few days ago because I've just gotten increasingly frustrated. And the general consensus seems to be that the quality of cell service in the Valley has been on a downhill slide for the last several years. And what are you guys experience? Have you sensed the same thing?
Well, I'm on Verizon, and there's one place that I always drop the call.
Mm-hmm.
And that's heading from Carbondale to Glenwood. Right as you're heading down the hill in front of Aspen Glen, the call drops. You get one, two bars, and then the call goes away.
Heading down the hill from Aspen Glen.
So from Carbondale to Glenwood, that hill.
Like just goes, coming into Cattle Creek?
Is that this side of it. So you go up you go up the hill.
Okay,
and then right there as you're going down the hill, the call drops.
Yeah, that's a huge problem spot for AT&T as well. And so... You know, I've just noticed, let's see, so the bad spots for me coming into El Jebel is horrible. Let's see.
Yeah, I have Google Fi, which is a combination of Sprint and T-Mobile.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it drops off like Yosemite Canyon. Yeah. And same place you've just described and a few other places.
Yeah, I have good service in Snowmass Canyon. I know that.
Mm-hmm. The one that astounds me is that just before I get to McDonald's coming into Glenwood, I lose signal. You know, my signal becomes completely unreliable, and I don't really get to the point where I feel like I can make a call again until 8th Street on Grand Avenue.
It's the Ronald McDonald black hole.
Is it?
Yeah.
It sucks up all the cellular energy.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK, 963-2976.
Yeah.
Where are your dead spots?
Yeah, where are your... Yeah, call in with your dead spots.
Please tell us where your dead spots
are. Or from
are.
One. No.
Yeah. Well, I hear... So the general consensus was, and not that I'm here to endorse or oppose, you know, any particular cell provider, but Sprint seemed to come out on top of the whole fight. And, you know, I've actually found that you can save a significant amount. They've got some specials right now. But I know that is one of those things that changes from one carrier to the next, and it's just a constant revolving
door.
Yeah,
I think they have the lowest unlimited data plan,
uh-huh.
I believe.
Yeah. It's mine's with my phone lease is $65 a month, and the phone lease is $10 a month. So we'll be moving the family over to that. So for now, but that, you know, that's a big deal. I've been on AT&T since the late 90s, and you know, for me to get to the point where I'm absolutely fed up with it.
So you're getting a second phone and a second line?
Second, yep, exactly. And as soon as this Death Star is paid off, I'm talking about my iPhone 7 Plus here, as soon as it's paid off, I will go ahead and I'll go ahead and terminate that service.
Will you add an Android to your suite of tools?
Negative.
Oh, okay.
Negative.
So I figured you went both sides of the galaxy there.
Ah. Well, I just got an email from Donna Dalton, and she said that she is having difficulties, or let's see, that when she tries to go to listen to GeekSpeak, she gets a link that says GeekSpeak with Amy Haddon Marsh on the screen. And let's see. I don't know if she's listening or not. Donna, if you're listening, give us a call. You missed Donna last week, Marty. She was here in the studio.
Person, yeah, during Mountain Fair.
She
sure
was live and impersonable. So, which, as we all know, is not possible for her. So,
yeah, well, I'm sure it was a great show.
It was fantastic, and it just seems to fly by when you've got, you know, three people
in the studio. She was your foreign correspondent on site.
Indeed. So, what else is going on out there? I have received a number of calls about more on-screen sirens going off.
Oh,
our ever-present topic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, you're on with the geeks. You're on with the geeks.
Okay, so I'll call in. Hi, guys. You know, I have a quick comment.
Okay. It's not why are you guys so boring?
No.
Okay,
but you know, good. I was thinking, I was looking through my some old CDs of mine, and I had this Bare Naked Ladies CD. It was actually an enhanced CD. When I first started teaching at Colorado Mountain College, I had put the CD into my computer, and it was just playing, and all of a sudden this BNL TV thing had come up. It was like an Easter egg.
Oh, really?
Yes. So anyway, if you go to YouTube, I think it's YouTube, you can find it, and you search for Bare Naked Ladies BNL TV, you'll see that little S, you know, some of the Easter egg videos that were on that enhanced CD.
Oh, interesting.
Yes. Huh. Isn't that funny? And
that
I
is.
Just came across it one day, and I'm kind of curious if there are other... Is Easter egg, is that the correct term for those?
Yeah.
Hidden things in... Yeah.
Yeah,
so.
I remember there was an Easter egg in Office 90, in Excel Office 97, where you went to a certain cell and typed in a certain thing, and then it'd play you could play a game in it.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Yeah, it was an Easter egg.
Wow, I need to downgrade.
Yeah. It's only 20 years old. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
It'll still work.
Anyway, the CD that I had was, I think it was from 1996, and it was called Rock Spectacle.
Okay.
So anyway, I'm just curious if you ever know of any other Easter eggs, you know, please tell people, because I think they're really fun. I just, you know, what happens is I start Googling this stuff, and then I end up watching all kinds of YouTube videos, wasting, you know, a couple of hours of time, right?
Yeah, your weekend's gone.
the weekend is gone. But, you know, I will say this, is finding that Easter egg on that Bare Naked Ladies CD really helped me like that band even more, because you see how fun they can be and how creative they are and just the little jokes they make and stuff.
So how did they hide the Easter egg on the album? Were there a bunch of blank tracks?
It was either a blank track at the end, or it was at the end of the last song or something. I can't remember actually, but it was at the end of the last song, I think. And then it was just really maybe a couple of minutes of blank space, and then all of a sudden this thing just popped up or something. Anyway,
I came across an album one time that had if you looked on the track listing of it, it would basically said it had 99 tracks on it. And track 12 through 12 through 98 were blank. They were blank 1 second tracks. And then track 99 was the Easter egg. So it was kind of fun.
What year was that?
Oh, probably back in about the same era that you're talking about.
Yeah, I remember one that was like that in the late 90s. I can't remember which album it was.
Yeah.
But there was one that had, when you put it in a CD player, it said 99 tracks. The first 12 or 13 or 14 were the album. And then the last ones were like 10 seconds. I think it was what was that?
Were you listening to Chumbawamba?
It was probably The Offspring.
You know what? It could be.
I think The Offspring did it.
Yeah, because I had the Offspring CD. But
Sounds
like something Chumbawamba would do, though, you know, if you ask me. So
haven't heard that one in a long time. Go ahead.
It's fun coming across those, don't you think?
Definitely.
Yep. So anyway, I'll listen to the rest of the show. Hopefully you'll get some calls.
Yes, we are hoping. Okay, we're just dying to fix things.
Yeah, you need to change that that thing on the current show, Geek Speak, with Amy. Obviously, Amy's not host.
Yeah. Nothing against Amy Haddon Marsh, but...
No, of course not.
You know, when I start talking geeky to her, man, it almost puts her in a coma. So, I kid you not. So.
Okay, well, talk to you guys later.
Take care there. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Oh, it does say Geek Speak with Amy Haddon Marsh.
A little bit of self-promotion.
And she has the next show, too.
Yeah. Wow. So she's just killing it.
Yeah.
So
you're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK 963-2976. Got another call. You're on with the geeks.
Hey, I'm just starting a new real estate office, and I got this Google Voice number on my signs.
Okay.
And I want to get it off of Google Voice. Do you have any idea how to let Google let go of a phone number?
Now, is this a number that Google Voice assigned to you?
Yeah. Or I picked out from one of the ones they had offered.
Oh boy, that's a really good question. So you want to port the search string I'm going to use is port a Google Voice number
to a real account, to a cell phone.
Well, and I was talking to Charter today. It's not, is it Charter or Comcast?
I was going to say, are you in the Vale Valley or
No, I'm in Carbondale.
Okay.
Yeah, Comcast. He said, we don't have very good luck recording Google Voice phone numbers. Said all the other VoIP ones do well, but not Google. And I just didn't know if you guys had a little tip or a little hint there.
Well, I've got an article in front of me that looks like it might give you the answer to this. It's kind of an old article, though. So it's dated 2013. But it basically, and using the search string that I was just saying, port a Google Voice number away from Google. And I got a number of results. But they're talking about something about before you, you must first unlock the number. And that they charge a one-time $3 fee to port your number away from Google Voice.
Ooh, $3, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. Better start saving.
Yeah.
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 So can you explain that to me? The idea of porting, a phone number, where does it live? How does that work? Does it still go through Google but then gets routed into the Comcast?
It basically, and I don't even know, and maybe one of these other guys know the exact name of the database, but there's a universal database that associates associates a phone number that's a 10-digit number with a probably a what they would call a trunk ID number or something like that.
Yeah, so there's all this stuff going on behind the scenes to route when somebody calls. So if you call my cell phone, it routes to Verizon, but originally that was an AT&T phone number. So Congress, and you can look up some more history on this, but there's the Phone Number Portability Act.
That
happened
in
2011.
5 to 10 years?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And so that mandated that all of the phone carriers had to be able to move phone numbers around. So you could start here with you start with a Google Voice number. So you get a number through your carrier, and then you say, well, I'm done with that carrier, I want to move it. They have to be able to facilitate that.
So Okay. Basically the entry in the database that corresponds to that 10-digit telephone number just gets reassociated with a different trunk ID with a different carrier, you know, whether it's, CenturyLink or, whatever. So you could technically have a 970-963 phone number attached to your cell phone as you live in Oregon, So,
and for Google to have the right to access that system, they had to agree, or they're subject to this law, that they do have to let go of it, even if they're a pain in the butt about it.
Yeah, and quite honestly, most carriers are a pain in the butt about it. It's one of those processes where when a client says something about, I want to port this number, guys like Matt and I start kind of like, there's a little bit of sweat breaks out on our brow kind of subconsciously.
We can do it, but it's going to take a little work.
It's the same as, I want to move my website to, or I want to transfer my domain name to a different registrar. It's very similar to that. Same order,
Sweat breaks out for that.
Yes, it's it.
So, but it looks like Google charges a $3 fee for that. I found I Googled transfer Google voice number to cell phone. The first thing that comes up is transfer or port your number Google Voice Help, Google support, and they go through the process of releasing that number from your Google Voice account, and you can transfer it to another carrier of your choice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Simple basis, I think you can do just about anything with a Google Voice number. So you could log into your voice.google.com control panel and forward that number over to any number in the world. If you don't want to mess with all that, you could just forward that number right there.
Yeah. It's presently forwarded to my cell phone. But if I have an office with a phone system in it, I would need to have a phone number for that office in order to forward the Google
phone number to it. Gotcha.
And I don't want to have to create, I could get a Charter phone number.
A Comcast phone number, yep.
I don't know why.
Yep. And those are free.
I could get a Comcast phone number and then just have the Google Voice routed to that phone number.
There you go.
Right.
And but it can still live exactly where it is.
The only caveat with that is when you call people back from your voice, from your current system, it'll come up as, one of the, some other local number.
It'll come up different on caller ID than
your
advertised numbers. So.
So.
Yeah. Great question, though. Thanks for the call.
Oh, thank you, guys.
Have a good one.
Good show.
Take care.
Bye.
You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK, 963-2976. Call. We have a few more minutes here if you have a quick question.
I have to look up and find out if my use of the term trunk ID number is correct, because I've always wanted to say that, like to say trunk ID number.
Yeah.
And like kind of sound like I know what I'm talking about. It probably doesn't really mean what I was thinking it was meaning, but,
Well, I know that terminology is used for T1, so I'm not sure if it pertains to PSTN.
It's not just used for elephants?
Not just for elephants.
Not even white elephants?
Maybe.
All right.
You've been listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer, with the Roaring Fork Help Desk in the studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
Hey, thanks a lot, Matt.
And our special guest, Martin Marty.
Thanks, Matt and Louie. Always a good time.
Yeah, anytime, my friend.
Have a great week, everyone.